Let us now turn to scriptures for our reading, for our instruction in the Word of God. We turn to the Gospel of Mark and the chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark and the chapter 5, we read from the verse 1 through to the verse 20. This is the Word of the Lord. Come, let us hear God's holy Word together. The Lord truly give us ears to hear and hearts to receive His Word this night. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with a devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And may the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his most holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. All to the glory of his name and to the good of our needful and never dying souls here this evening. Come, let us draw near to God in prayer. O Lord, how we need thee to speak from heaven. O Lord, we pray that this feeble one would, as it were, not be seen, neither heard. That the God of heaven may speak from his word to our souls individually. O Lord, and that thou would get glory to thy name. Thou would bring sinners to the light, the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. How we love him, how our hearts adore him, how we sing again and again, worthy the Lamb. Oh, we thank thee, Father, for thy dear Son. We pray that he, by his Spirit, might come in our midst He is the light, but he is the light by which we see him. Oh, grant thy Spirit, Lord, we pray, that we might see the light of men, and that we may know forgiveness of sins and eternal life through the Son of God. Come and bless us, O Lord. Shut us in with thee. Please shut the world and all of our cares and distraction outside of our meeting. Lord, help us now to concentrate, to give ourselves wholly, carefully. As we listen, we pray that truly it may be in a manner that is worship and with the intent to be doers of thy word. Come and bless us, we ask, for we plead all in that worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake, help this feeble one now. Lord, he knows and feels his weakness. Come, O Lord, may nothing be said amiss, but all to the praise of our Saviour, asking in his name and for his glory. Amen. Well, dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the Gospel of Mark and the chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark and the 5th chapter, the chapter that I read in your hearing earlier. And I want us to consider this evening this account of God's grace in the life of this man Legion. And over the 25 years or so that I've been preaching the Lord's word with his help and grace, I know that I have preached from this passage of Scripture at least 3, perhaps 4 times. But as I say that, I know that we can always come to God's Word afresh. And the Word of God really is inexhaustible. We never truly plummet the heights and the depths of the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. That love that came down from heaven to save poor wretches such as Legion. Well, we have a tremendous passage before us that sets before us the grace of our God. As I say, the grace of God is something that we will never truly be able to fathom. It is as a vast ocean, wide, heaving. We will never plummet the depths of that grace. We think of the depths of the ocean, some 7 miles in some places, off the coast of Japan. And I've been to such places, and all you can see is just dark blue sea. And we may not think it's very deep, but the deeper we go, the greater we find the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Such love, who can understand? Not just the depths of the ocean comparable, but heaven itself he left. The glory of heaven. We can look out into the azure vault. We can look out into the galaxies and see the millions of stars that the Lord Jesus Christ created. And he came from another realm. In the previous chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ is there with the disciples in the boat, and the great tempest, the storm comes over. He who made the sea, and the disciples were concerned. And the Lord Jesus Christ spoke one word and said, "Be still." And it was still. That very one who created the heavens and the earth came down from heaven, from the very heights of glory. That's the love, that's the depth. But then, he not only came into this world, but he came to be the Lamb. We've been singing, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." This Lord Jesus Christ was slain for sinners such as Legion. For the vilest of sinners, for the vilest of offenders. For the most heinous crimes that men had committed. We're reminded, their sins were laid on him. Actual sins. Peter said he bore our sins in his own body. He suffered. The very Creator God of heaven and earth bore the sins, those sins. Came to suffer and to die. And what great lengths he came to. Think of the lengths he came to just crossing that sea of Galilee with his disciples. to meet one man in that region of Decapolis. A man who was racked with demons. The devil had his grip upon him. Helpless, hopeless, no hope for him. But Christ came to him, saved him, brought him out of the deepest darkness. Nobody could help him. Men had tried all kinds of things. Couldn't help him. But what a picture. My friends, what a picture of God saving sinners. That's what I want us to look at this evening. God's amazing grace in saving sinners. We're all dead in trespasses and sins by nature, alienated, separated from the life of God. And as I say, we can never plummet the depths of such chapters as this. The preacher never feels that he has given due justice to the passage. And so we see the amazing grace of God here. But then I want us to see, secondly, the characteristics, the proof of the gracious work of God in men's souls, so that we may examine ourselves. Are we the Lord's? Has He done a work in us? Do we have true saving faith? Are we the Lord's or not? Well, you notice in the verses 1 to 5, we meet with this man, the Lord Jesus. He is just crossed with the disciples. They come over the other side, verse 1, and they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Again, we'll see this is indeed a wonderful picture of how the Lord saves. And then secondly, we see the proof of this gracious work in the verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. There's one of the marks of somebody that is genuinely converted, somebody that is truly saved. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's begin, first of all, by looking at this man. Here he is, this man Legion, he is called. And he really has, what we could say, an incurable condition. An incurable condition. We've seen that men have tried all kinds of things to bring him back, to tame him. They couldn't tie him up. He would break those chains. Such power. He had demons in him. We know that on a number of occasions that the Lord Jesus Christ, he met with great satanic force. Why is that? When he came into this world, why did he meet with such great satanic force? Well, what had been told Satan in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman would come into this world and would crush Satan's head. But how? Satan didn't quite know. Satan did try, from the moment our Savior came into this world, to put him to death, whether by Herod, whether by men, whether by the Pharisees. They were the ones doing Satan's bidding. Yes, we could say that. But the Lord Jesus Christ came determined to save sinners. That's a wonderful thing. Despite all of that in this world, despite all opposition, Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And see what great lengths he went to meet with this one sinner, that nobody, friends, nobody could deal with. What an incurable condition, but what a picture of man. Friends, sin has so infiltrated people that we call it total depravity. It's one of the doctrines we believe in the Bible. A man is so totally depraved in his sin. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "He who sins is a slave to sin." But furthermore, Satan has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. It's that people don't not just want to believe. Why is it? He said, because men love darkness rather than light, because they love their sins. And this man, he lived amongst the tombs, amongst the catacombs, amongst dead bodies. Alongside that lakeside were tombs. As the waves were lapping along the shoreline there were little caverns amongst the lake. And that's where they would bury people. And that's where his dwelling place was. And let me say, that's a picture again of people in this world. We make our home, do we not? With those who are, as it were, dead in trespasses and sins. He had his attraction, the things of the dead. I gave two illustrations the other day. And it was from the ark. As Noah sent out two birds, he sent out a dove, didn't he? And he sent out a raven. The dove didn't come, the dove came back, but the raven didn't. It started to live amongst the dead things of the old world, and it was destroyed. Raven are much like magpies. You've ever watched a magpie? Magpie loves to collect tinsel. Tin paper, tin foil, anything that shines, anything that glitters. But it's of no value. Well, that's the world, isn't it? Anything that glitters. But it doesn't last. Magpies, you go to their nests and they hoard all kinds of things. Well, this man, he had his attraction with the old world. The dead world that could offer him nothing. It really goes to show the extent of man's sin. Of course, people, his family, he had a real mother, he had a real father. He came from somewhere, he didn't come from nowhere. He was once a little child. And perhaps got involved, we don't know, with the occult or something like that. Or maybe Satan just entered in one day. It reminds us, doesn't it, we should, as people, have nothing to do with the hidden works of darkness. It's a reminder. But there is darkness. The prince of the power of the air has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And you can be in this world, but yet living amongst the tombs, the things of this world, the things that are empty, the old life. But here he was, living in this place. And we read that he was cutting himself day and night, harming himself. But what a picture of sin. What does sin do? Sin harms us. You know, we speak of young people self-harming today. That's a literal thing. Depression. No joy in this life. No peace in this life. And really, that's what sin will do to us. We'll go from one sin to the next, but really, there'll be no peace in the heart. And what does sin do? It destroys you. What does sin do? It makes you less of a person. You tell a lie, it embarrasses you. It makes you ignoble. You misbehave, you do silly things, you make a fool of yourself. You look like, I mean, imagine him, he's a madman here. No clothes on, walking around shamelessly. And see people today, see what sin does, they live shamelessly. What a picture of life. Look at the world. People are wearing less and less clothes and living more lewdly and foolishly in this world. He had no peace. He wanted to live amongst the dead bodies, an infatuation with dead things. And really, this is life as we come into this world. We have no infatuation with God. We avoid light. Here he is living in the caves, in the darkness of the caves. And what was in there? There was darkness. Light exposes truth, doesn't it? And Jesus is the light of the world. That's what he says. He's the light of the world. And he that is in Christ does no more walk in darkness. His eyes have been opened. You see, Satan has blinded this world. I say this is a picture. The people in his hometown were as blind as he was. I mean, spiritually, to the things of God. This is a dark region, as we will see. So the Lord comes, and not even that great storm would keep him from saving this man and bringing him to a knowledge of God. And that's the amazing thing about the grace of God. The grace of God comes with unstoppable force. And he is determined to save sinners. And where is Christ known? Well, he's known in the church. As the word of God is preached. As his word goes forth. Well, nothing could stop the Lord Jesus. Determined there, even the disciples who cried out, "Lord, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm, we read. And he comes across the other side. And friends, we have to say this evening, maybe you feel like this man, Legion, lost in this world, blind, so attached to your sin, so gripped by the things of this world. Your heart is hard. Well, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And this chapter proves that fact. Well, here, let's consider Legion's life in this incurable condition. It is an incurable condition. And every man's soul is incurable by man. The wages of sin is death. And only God can turn it around. And he does. Praise God, he does. And the Lord Jesus is the great physician of souls who I want to present to you here this evening. Here we see this man in this incurable condition, and maybe you feel your condition is incurable. Well, my friends, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. This man in great bondage to sin and darkness. You notice when he was come out of the ship, verse 2, immediately they met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains, because he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And then you read on, he immediately notices the Lord Jesus. He's cutting himself day and night, verse 5, but verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now that's something, isn't it? How did he acknowledge? How did he notice? Of course, we need to understand there's still a man in this man. He's still a man and he has demons in yet. And yet he worshipped the Lord. He fell, as it were, at his feet and cried with a loud voice. And that's the demons. That's the spirits in him. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? And that's the first thing, let me say. The great question is this. Who do you see Jesus is? He says, thou Son of the Most High God. Has God given you a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, light has to dawn. And if there is that knowledge that Lord Jesus Christ is no ordinary man, Let me say, there's the greatest spark. There's light. If we see him as an ordinary man, there's no hope. I have to be honest with you. If you see the Lord Jesus as simply some human being that came into this world, my friends, there's no light. You're still in darkness. But this man had the dawning of Christ upon him. Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. And yet, of course, we need to acknowledge that the demons are still in him. And yet he comes and he falls and he worships at the Lord Jesus Christ. He cried with a loud voice. He doesn't want to be tormented. Of course, this is a spirit as well. It's very difficult to tell, but here the man is not separated from these things. And he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. This is the evil spirit within him. My friends, let me say this first of all. There is an evil spiritual world, and you must acknowledge it. Satan, he has blinded the men, the eyes of all men, that they believe not. You must believe that. And unbelief is not only a willful unbelief, but it is propagated by Satan himself, the prince of darkness, the deceiver. And he wants to destroy any image of man, any image of God in man, and any knowledge of the Son of God. And you hear the Spirit crying out here to be cast into the swine. And he besought him much, verse 10, that he would not send him out of the country. Now there were a great nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine, verse 11, feeding, and the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Now there's a verse. Jesus gave them leave. He has authority over everything. The devils are subject to him. The devil himself is subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no power that is not subject to Christ. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Now we read this account here of this man. He's in this region. We read here of Decapolis. Decapolis really means 10 cities. And at this place, let me introduce you quickly to this place. It's a place, you read the historians will tell you this is where the Roman army occupied much of the land. And the Roman army, part of their staple diet was pork. Pork crackling, perhaps you've ever had, with a bit of salt on it. And there were legions of Roman armies here, gathered. I wonder if this is why he calls himself Legion, one wonders. Because there are all these minions in him. It's in the region here of the Gadarenes. This is where this man lived, not far away. This place called Decapolis, which means the 10 towns. And there were no Jews here. So let's think about it. The disciples come with the Lord Jesus, these being Jews, and they go to the darkest part where there are no Jews. It's an ungodly place. There were no tabernacles here. There is no worship. The town of Gadara was along the shoreline here. And these were the caves were. It had never been Jewish territory. And this may explain why there are large herds of pigs. Now, to the Jew, a pig was a very abominable thing. It was forbade to eat. These pigs, when you read about them, these are not the perhaps pink and white pigs that we're used to or know. But these perhaps very smaller ones, used to eating their own vomit and even sadly their excrement, unclean. But it was also a place not only, as we think of the darkness of this land, the law of God was not known. The word of God was not preached. There was no tabernacle, there was no salvation, there was no influence of God's law. There was no knowledge of the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, the salvation that is in the gospel. There was no Sabbath rest in this place. There was no knowledge of the Most High, no hope of the Messiah coming. This is in the darkest part, we could say, in the region, and yet the Messiah comes. What a picture! The Lord of glory comes, my friends, to the darkest of hearts. And thank the Lord he does. And he shines in the darkest of hearts very often. And you might feel that you are, as this man Legion, let me say, well, we all are. We all are by nature. We're all in darkness. None of us are holy. Well, as I said, it was in this area where the Roman armies, the soldiers, were for a long time now. Historians tell us that. And there were these legions in the area. And these swine, well, the demons asked to be cast into them, and they are. 2,000 are destroyed, and they are drowned in the sea. And the men of the villages round about are annoyed at the fact that their pigs are destroyed, their swine are destroyed, and yet there is no compassion upon this man who was once in abject darkness, cutting himself, living like an animal. My friends, I want you to think for a moment of the monstrosity of man in that picture. The abject darkness of people in this world. How people can have more compassion upon dogs and pigs and chickens than a man that is possessed with so many devils. That is this world, where people treat their dogs like children. I have a dog, but he's not my child. That is how this world is. Isn't it? That's the darkness, that's the depravity. People think more about their money, about their wealth, than eternity. This man has a never-dying soul. As you do, as I do, we have never-dying souls. And the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, came to save souls. People who are in darkness, do you have a knowledge of him? We read there how he came running, how he fell before the Lord Jesus. And you can imagine him smelling, and he had no clothes on. Cut, putrefying sores. And the Lord Jesus doesn't say, get back, stay away from me. But the very pure, holy Son of God from heaven has mercy on him. My friend, what a picture. No matter how vile your sin, no matter how putrefying your sin in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ has mercy upon sinners. And they come and they fall and they acknowledge. And we see how it's said there that he was sat, clothed, and in his right mind. How the Lord Jesus Christ turned this man's life around completely. The Son of God who left heaven's pure light and glory, my friends, came to have a bride, an unworthy bride. And who are his bride? They are people who are called out of darkness into his life, into his light. We sing in that hymn, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. Christ spoke and this man lived. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die for Legion, to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what the Bible tells us. How wonderful that is, that knowledge, that Jesus Christ came for such poor wretches. He said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And you see this man, he comes, and perhaps you have been coming along to this church, and you've been hearing, and you feel, I'm so dirty, I'm so vile, I'm so sinful, I feel worse than Legion. Pastor, you don't know what I've done in my life. You have no understanding. My friends are, but look at Legion. Look at him. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. And you know, you can see this man's love. Let me say secondly now, you see the, first of all, the wonderful work of Christ in this man's life. How he's converted. Sat there, clothed in his right mind. Brought to a knowledge of Christ. And no doubt, sins forgiven. The soul renewed. And what is the first thing he wants to do? Well, he wants to be with the Lord. He wants to be with the Lord. We see it, don't we, in the text. Notice verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, this is the Lord Jesus, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. The Lord Jesus is just about to depart. He says, I want to be with you. Why? Because he's been forgiven. That's the mark of a Christian. You want to be with the Lord and the Lord's people. He wants to be with Peter, James and John and the rest of the disciples. Because light has come into his life now. He wants to be with the Son of God. On the other hand, you can imagine if, and I'm sure he was truly sorrowful for all of his sin. Imagine, he has parents no doubt, and perhaps even brothers and sisters. Would he not want to go back home? Of course. But he's prepared, isn't he, to leave all for Christ. What a sign. You see, and this is what happens when you're born again. You leave this world. The capitalist was not as important and where he came from as it once was. Because that's what got him here in the first place, the world. And the devil and all kinds of things. But the Lord sends him home. Not because the Lord doesn't love him. But because he has a work to do. He has a work to do. And what is that work? Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends. And tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. It's the same, you know, when the Lord saves us. He leaves us in the world. And we witness for him, that we might speak of the wonderful things that he has done in our lives. Now there's a mark of a Christian. The Lord has saved me. He's forgiven me my sins. He's cleansed me. He's given me light. He's given me a knowledge. I love him. I long to be with him, but I can't. Let me ask you. Do you long for the Lord's day? Do you long to be here? This is something we long for, don't we, as God's people. If we're saved, we want to be where the Lord is, where his people are, where his word is preached, where the knowledge of Christ is. That is a sign, my friends, that light has come to you. That you're no longer in darkness. That the light of Christ has come to your soul. Take encouragement. If this is the last place you want to be, then I say, you're still in the world. But if you long to be with Christ and his people, because the Lord says where two or three are gathered in his name, lo, he is there. And he has sent us out into the world that we might live to the glory of his name. This is why God has saved us not only for His glory, but that we might proclaim what He has done for us in our lives. You can imagine as he went, and we read in Luke's, the parallel account there in Luke, how he published abroad throughout that whole region what things the Lord has done for him. There's salvation. God has forgiven me. He saved me. He's cleansed me from this filthy life. Now I want to live for Him. Now I want to glorify Him. He doesn't want to go back to the old burial grounds, does he? He doesn't want to go back to the tombs. And you see, there's lots of things that change when we become a Christian. The nightclubs, the pubs, well, we don't want to go there anymore. People get drunk and inebriated and intoxicated with all those things, and they talk rubbish and gibberish. And they just numb their nerves. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's the world, isn't it? Numbing and dumbing itself down. But see Him sat in His right mind. Saved, forgiven. One day we'll meet Legion. If we are the Lord's, and that'd be a wonderful thing. But you know, friends, we're no different to Him. I say this really, by nature, we're no different to Legion. Paul says to the Ephesians, "You hath He quickened." If God has truly saved you, you were in as much darkness as Legion was. And that's great cause, isn't it, and reason to rejoice this evening. For what great things God has done for you, for me. There was a time when, you know, Peter, who no doubt was in the boat and went back, he didn't understand who the Lord was in that perhaps same boat. There was a time in Peter's life where the Lord called him. I remember they went out for the very first time and he said, "Peter, cast the nets out." And the nets were cast. Peter had been fishing all night. And it says he caught nothing. And Peter had a family. Peter had a wife. James and John, they had mouths to feed. They'd caught nothing all night. The Lord Jesus had been preaching on the lakeside, perhaps for hours. And Peter, "Oh Lord, well, we'll do it. If you say so, Lord, we'll do it." He did so reluctantly. And then as they went out and as he cast the nets out, or the net, should I say, singular, he began to feel the tug on the nets and the strain and the pulling. And he realized the Lord Jesus knew exactly where all the fish would be, and he sent the fish into the net so that when they started to pull the net, the boats, we read, were filled. And what happened to Peter? He fell down in the boat, as it were, like a dead man, the fish flopping around, and he said, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." But thank the Lord didn't depart from him. Though he was a sinful man. And it was at that moment that it began to dawn upon Peter, who had dealt with his life, Jesus, the Son of God, had come into this world. And how gentle the Lord was, and he said, "Peter, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." He said that to all the disciples. And they followed. And he had to teach them. And that's the Christian life. He teaches us. And then he dies for us on the cross to take us to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? There's nothing more wonderful, friends, in all of the whole world than the Son of God coming to live and to die for sinners that he would save and bring to a knowledge of himself. And how is it that you know him? Your mind, like Legion, is changed. Who changed his mind? Who changed his heart? Who did that work? Who did the impossible? There's this man with this incurable condition. And my friends, this is what Christ does. What man cannot do, what this preacher cannot do. And he does so by his word and his spirit. He takes the word, he troubles the heart and the mind, and he gives light. And he convicts of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come. And he says, live. And the soul begins to live and believe upon Christ. What a wonderful Savior. And he often does it, friends, to the most vilest of sinners. Who was the Apostle Paul? He said, the chief of sinners. Why? Because I persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And he that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. You know, we may ask ourselves, how is it I'm here tonight? How is it that I'm hearing God's word? How is it that I'm believing? My friends, it really is the grace of God that ever brought you to hear God's word. I'm amazed when I often hear a testimony or two, and you hear my testimony, you hear somebody else's, and you see how God providentially works in lives, and how the word is sown here and there, and you meet this person. It's God at work. God knew he would be here. The Son of God knows all things, and he knows who he's dealing with. And it's a blessing. We should ever hear his word. And when he speaks, he sets the prisoner free. What was this man? He was a prisoner. Prisoner to his own sin. A prisoner to Satan. A prisoner to this world. A prisoner to those tombs. But Christ sets him free. What a Savior. The Lord says in his word, I was found of them that sought me not. How gracious the Lord is. How kind. Was Legion looking for it? He was looking in the tombs, my friend. Christ comes to people in darkness. I was in darkness. But Christ came with his word to my heart. What a change of life. Oh, the grace of God. See this man sitting. Verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. There he is, calm and composed, not wild, clothed. This man usually naked, wild, and in his right mind. What does the Lord do for his people? Same thing. Sit, and we rest, and we have peace. We have peace through our Lord Jesus, clothed in what? His righteousness, not our own, and in our right mind. He gives a new mind. Have the light of the rays of God's gospel begun to shine in your heart? I pray that by the grace of God, they may. For the Lord saves sinners. May the Lord bless his word. No doubt this man went home, told his parents and friends and everyone what the Lord has done. Have you? Paul says, we believed, therefore we speak. You tell others. No such thing as a secret Christian, is there? No such thing as a secret disciple. But they go forth and they tell what good things the Lord has done. May the Lord receive the glory to any that are saved, for it is all of His grace. Amen.